your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Ming, and thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. The songs that we sang are my favorites, and it's good to see some of the old songs again, and we seldom sing them now, but I just hope that you know, worship teams in the future will consider singing some of these classical hymns, not just for my sake, for reminiscence sake, but also really, the classical hymns have a lot of lessons for us to learn about our faith. And in any case, let us come before the Lord and worship Him with prayer. In your bulletin this morning, there is an insert, Mission Express, and is come to us from our former pastor, Pastor Sabrina, who is serving the Lord in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. She is working with this church in the Stung Mikini. I hope I do justice to the pronunciation. And let us remember the needs, the requests that she has made. Okay, so let us come before the Lord. All right, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor Sabrina. Thank you for her obedience and submission to your call. Thank you that she's been serving you in South Asia for some time now. And we are glad to receive news about her and learn about how she's doing. Lord, we lift up the requests she has made to you, and we pray that you will hear their prayers and ours as well here in Vancouver. Lord, we pray that you will help the missionaries and the leadership team to work well together. May you protect their unity. May they serve you as one man so that your gospel can go forward. Lord, we also pray for the brothers, the new male believers. Lord, many of them maybe once were drug addicts or alcoholics. Now that they are in the Lord, we pray that they will really live out their new lives in the Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will strengthen their resolve to stay away from drugs and alcohol so that they can truly enjoy this new life in you. And so, Lord, we also pray for the leadership training on Wednesday. We ask you to help Pastor Sabrina and other leaders to train up more people so that they can share the workload, they can take part in the ministry to bring up many more leaders and to proclaim the gospel in their area. And Lord, we also pray for the sisters. There is a discipleship group for them, and we just pray that they will make use of this training to equip themselves and to use the training to serve others, especially the girls in the factory nearby. We just pray that they can minister to these girls to bring the gospel to them. And Lord, we pray that you will bless this church in Phnom Penh area. And we thank you that Pastor Sabrina has been well, and she's been adjusting very well too. And we just pray that her ministry will bring fruit to your name, to your glory and honor. And Lord, we pray now that we are going to study Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. You will open our eyes to see. You will open our ears to listen and open our hearts to store up your word in our hearts. Give us that humility to receive your word. Give us give us that determination to act upon it. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, good morning. And in 2 weeks' time, my oldest daughter will celebrate her birthday. I won't tell you how old she is going to be, otherwise she will hate me. Anyway, up to this day, the sight of her birth is still very vivid in front of me. I still remember every single detail about her birth. Now, if she were able to speak at birth, when she saw me, I wonder if she would ask the following question. Oh, you are my dad. Could I exchange for another one, a handsome one? I guess I would say to her, well, too late, too bad. You know, you can't exchange for that. Now, parents are the ones that we interact first when we enter the world. And so they are our first personal or interpersonal relationship. If we can develop a good relationship with them, I guarantee you we can develop a good relationship with others. Now, interpersonal relationship is the subject matter that the Apostle Paul deals with in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6. In the second half of chapter 5, he teaches the manner of husband and wife relationship, how they should relate to one another. And in chapter 6, the Apostle Paul teaches the way that parents and children should interact with one another. Now, the teaching of Paul shows that he truly values family. Today, we are very pleased in our church that there will be 8 pairs of parents, altogether 10 children, taking part in the children's dedication in the second Chinese service. We pray that God will accept their dedication and bless their family so that they may be beautiful witnesses for the Lord. When we are able to develop a harmonious husband and wife relationship and a harmonious parents and children relationship based on the love of Christ, if we can do that, I'm sure we'll be able to unite our family in Christ. We'll be able to build up our church here, and we'll be able to please our Father in heaven and glorify His name. Please open to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 again. Now, here in these two verses, the Apostle Paul exhorts the children to obey and honor their parents. Now, perhaps speaking of parents is painful for you because you may have had an unpleasant experience. You may have had some sort of unpleasant childhood. Or you are even going through some tough time with your parents now, at this moment. Perhaps your parents are not Christians, and so that adds stress and pressure at home. Perhaps you think your parents are just too strict. For whatever reasons, you want to tune me out at this moment. Please don't. I'm not speaking. It is God, your Lord, speaking to you. And so, please be patient and hear what God has to say to you this morning. Now, the word obey can also mean listen and follow. And so children should listen and follow parents' teaching. And the word honor means to submit and to respect. And so children should submit themselves and respect their parents. The Apostle Paul says, children should listen and follow their parents. And this is right. It means it's reasonable. Because God places parents in our lives. God places them in that position. And only that, our parents' experiences in life can truly help us conduct ourselves in all aspects of life, at school, at home, amongst our friends. I wonder how many of you really listen to your parents and follow them. What happens if your parents ask you to help with the housework, or keep your room tidy and clean, or do your assignment from school? What would you say to them? I've got 3 children at home. I know what they would say to me. And I kind of guess what you would say to your parents. What if your parents make some decisions and ask you to follow, and you don't like them? Would you follow them? Now, before our physical body, before our intellectual faculty, before our knowledge matures, parents' teaching, parents' instruction, parents' model indeed can protect us, can help us, can lead us. There is a very well-known Chinese saying. It says, listen to the elderly and you will not suffer unnecessarily, which is so true. I say this again. Listen to the elderly and you will not suffer unnecessarily. Now, this saying comes out of experiences in life. Many young people, they go astray, most likely because they refuse to listen to the elderly. They refuse to listen to their parents. And if they had been willing to listen, they would not have stumbled and faltered. Besides listening and following their parents, children should also honor their father and their mother. The 5th commandment of the 10 commandments says, honor your father and your mother. At a glance, honoring your father and your mother seems to be a commandment between people, about human beings. And so we usually separate the 10 commandments into 2 uneven segments. The first 4 commandments are about our human responsibility toward God. And then the remaining 6 commandments are about our responsibility toward our neighbors. But the Jews don't divide the 10 commandments in the same manner. They believe that on these 2 stone tablets, there should be 5 each, okay, commandments. And so they do this because they firmly believe that if we honor our parents, our father and our mother, we are also honoring our God. Honoring our father and our mother is actually our responsibility toward God too. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 1 to 3, it says, the Lord said to the Israelites through Moses, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father. I am the Lord your God. Now, obviously, honoring your father and your mother is an expression of your reverence, expression of your fear of God. In Old Testament times, if somebody disobeyed this commandment, they would face severe punishment. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 9, it says, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. Wow, that's serious, huh? That's severe. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. That is very serious. But here, the Apostle Paul would rather encourage us with a promise than with a threat, so that we may obey the Lord's commandment. And so, in verse 3, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy life, a long life on the earth. First means fundamental and important. And there are two parts in this promise. The first is it may go well with you. The second is you may enjoy long life on the earth. God's blessing is spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, we have blessings in the heavenly realms. And that means we are chosen by the Lord, we are saved by God, and we are God's children, and we have this eternal hope in Christ. Now, apart from the blessings in the heavenly realms, we also have blessings here on earth. Now, this is guaranteed, and that is we have long life. Now, actually, when children listen and follow their parents, they can escape from, they can avoid so many dangers, so many sins. And these dangers, these sins can threaten our lives, can put our lives in danger. And there is this saying, sin always robs us, obedience always enriches us, which is so true. Now, our life here on earth cannot be measured just by quantity, by how long we live. Our life here on earth must be measured by quality, how we live our lives. Children who follow and listen to their parents, no matter how long they live, they will definitely live a meaningful and abundant life. Now, perhaps we can extend this promise, having or living a long life on the earth. We extend it to a general parameter, to a general situation. People who obey their parents, sure, they will live a long life. But if the society that we belong to, if the community that we are part of really practices this commandment, listening and following our parents, I'm quite sure this community will be a stable community, will be a prosperous community, because there is Christ in their midst. Try to imagine if a family becomes unstable due to this kind of broken relationship, how can the society to which this family belongs can have any peace or can have any stability? Now, the Apostle Paul says children should listen and follow their parents. Now, this command brings up a question. And the question is, are we to listen to all the commands, all the orders of our parents? What if my parent is a non-Christian? Should I listen to him or her? What if my parents prevent me or stop me from becoming a Christian, from joining the church? Should I obey them? This is not easy to answer. Let me give you an example. If you were born and raised in a non-Christian family, and you just became a Christian, and you really want to get baptized, but your parents said, oh no, I don't agree to that. What should you do? I would encourage you to listen to your parents and follow their wishes. Don't just go ahead and get baptized. Even though getting baptized is the Lord's command, even though getting baptized is what the Bible teaches, you can still wait till you may be a bit older or a bit later. Don't rush to disobey your parents. Take the time to hear what they are saying. seek to respect them, obey as far as possible. And there may come a time when you must obey God rather than man, but don't assume everything falls into that kind of category. Your submission to your parents can become a beautiful testimony for Jesus Christ. And in time, your parents can see what the Lord is doing in your life, and they may change their mind and let you get baptized. And so I encourage you to obey your parents as far as possible, so long as it is not contrary to the teaching of the Bible. If your parents prevent you, stop you from becoming a Christian, I would say that perhaps you don't listen to your parents. Because, you know, believing in Jesus Christ is what God wants us to do. And so, if it comes to that, maybe you should put Christ first. You want to be a Christian first. Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, if you love your parents more than me, you are not worthy to be my disciples. Maybe sometimes there will be tension, there will be some sort of conflict, but put Christ first, and Christ will take care of the rest. Paul's command also raises another question. Is his command for those who are, you know, small, those who are children, you know, young children, is it addressed to those who are still staying at home, those young people who haven't got married yet? Now, it's very difficult to answer, too. Let me give you an example. Here in Canada, we have a multicultural society. There are so many different ethnicities, different customs and traditions in our country, in the city of Vancouver. Some people would use age, would use marital status, when the child has left home, then the child is an adult. But as first generation or second generation of Canadian Chinese or Chinese Canadian here in Vancouver, I would suggest to you that we should consider the Chinese custom and the Canadian practice. At our home, let us work together, discuss it, so that we can have some common consensus. Some families in our midst may be quite open to Western practice. Some families, even though they have immigrated to Canada for a long time, they still keep to the Chinese tradition. Whatever, so long as we have a consensus, let us stick to it. If under that consensus, a child is considered a child, that child, he or she, should observe Paul's command. Hear, listen, and follow their parents. Honor their parents. And there is one more important point, and that is, even if we are adults, in the sight, in the custom of society, even if we are no longer, the society considers us no longer under parental authority, even if we don't seem to need to listen and follow our parents, I still encourage you. I still encourage you to honor your parents. I still encourage you to submit and respect your parents. Submit to and respect your parents. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 3-6, Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees for disobeying God's commandments, for not honoring their fathers and their mothers. Now, obviously, the Pharisees were religious leaders of the day. They were definitely, without doubt, adults. And yet, Jesus Christ still rebuked them for not honoring their fathers and their mothers. And so my conclusion is, so long as our parents are still alive here on earth, honoring our father and our mother is a lifelong commandment. We cannot shirk it. We cannot ditch it, throw it out the window. Now, our parents raised us, provide for us. Our parents spent their money, their time, their energy, everything to bring up all of us so that we can become what we are and who we are today. And our parents have tremendous patience. Our parents have forgiven us once, twice, three times. And no matter how many times we offended our parents, they will always forgive us. And our parents have made so many sacrifices for us. And so honoring them is reasonable. Honoring them is right, as the Apostle Paul says. And the Apostle Paul teaches us, because we are of the Lord, because we are in the Lord, it is right of us, it is right for us to listen and follow our parents. In this day and age, there are so many things that are contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Anti-authority, individualism, rebellion, and selfishness. All these things mark our age today, mark this time of our world today. People, they are so selfish, they are so self-centered, and as a result, many good things in good order have been broken. Family relationships, friendship, or whatever relationship, the society is fragmented. Authority has been abused to oppress people. But we praise the Lord, and we thank Jesus Christ. He has turned all these evil things. He has changed all these wicked situations into good. In Christ, because of his love, because of the peace that he has given, every single relationship has been made new. Because we are in Christ, we should be more than willing to listen and follow our parents, because this pleases the Lord. And even Jesus Christ himself has set us a good example. When he was here on earth for 33 and a half years, he submitted himself. He listened to his parents. A person who says he reveres God, a person who says he follows God, should also be a person who listen and follow his parents. Think about it. If we do not honor our parents, whom we can see with our very own eyes, how can we say we honor or fear God or even revere God, whom we cannot see with our naked eyes? If we say that we revere God and yet we dishonor our parents, we are lying. We are lying through our teeth. This is the teaching of the Bible. Now, the Apostle Paul exhorts children to listen, to follow, and to honor their parents. But his advice, his teaching for parents is that they should restrict, they should control their authority. And therefore, in verse 4, he said to the parents, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now please pay attention. In verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul mentions both parents, father and mother. But here, he only mentions the father. Does it mean that the father will be the one to shoulder this responsibility of teaching children all by himself? Definitely not. What Paul is saying is the father should take the leadership role. This kind of teaching is in accordance with Paul's teaching in chapter 5, verse 23 and 25, when he teaches about a husband and wife relationship. There the Apostle Paul says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the children of the church and gave himself up for her." You know, God wants those who are husbands to take that leadership role, to lead in marriage, to love their wives with that sacrificial and protective love. And in the matter of educating, teaching their children, God also wants those who are husbands to take the lead, working with their wives to educate, to teach their children. Now, in the last deacon board meeting, the pastors and the deacons have begun to talk about how our church can help the fathers of our church, in our church, to take part, take an active, play an active role in the education of their children at home and here in church. Now, we understand that fathers have a rather heavy load on their shoulders. It's not so easy for them to take care of matters at home and look after things outside the home. But this is what God teaches us, and we understand God's teaching, and that is the father should take the active role, should take the leading role in matters concerning husband and wife relationship, in matters concerning educating their children. God wants the father to take that role. And so we ask you, even though you are still young, many of you are not, parents yet, I ask you to pray for the deacon board, pray for the pastors and the deacons, so that God will lead us in making this kind of arrangement to allow for fathers to play this role well, to really take this leadership together with their parents, with their wives, to educate the next generation. And some of us may be single parents. I still encourage you to pray. You know, God still treasures you. You are still precious in God's sight. You know, I ask you to join us in prayer and join us in playing this role so that you too can educate the next generation. And the Apostle Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, when we look at this verse, there is the negative side and then the positive. The negative is, do not exasperate your children. The positive is to bring up the children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let us look at the positive first. Now, how can parents bring up the children in the training and instruction of the Lord? To bring up is the same as to feed and care for. You can find the same verb in chapter 5, verse 29, when Paul talks about the husband and wife relationship. And so John Calvin, the famous theologian, translates this to bring up as to treasure, to love, to treat, to look after tenderly. And that is the way parents bring up their children. And then the word training means discipline. It's the same word used in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, I believe. And there, the writer talks about how the earthly father deals with the children, and how the heavenly father deals with those who belong to him. And so the word is discipline. And then the word instruction means the verbal saying, that is admonishing, warning, encouraging the children. Now, in the Old Testament, disciplining and instructing or training children is very clear. That kind of teaching is very clear. For example, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Now, when we hear this kind of teaching in the Bible, we, you know, shudder. Wow. Does the Bible say that? The Bible does say that. But of course, the parents of the past generation, sometimes they overdid it, right? They just focus on the disciplining. They just focus on the punishment. They just, oppress the children too much. And as a result, the children's character, the children's will, failed to develop properly. But when you look at the present day generation of parents, they are too liberal, right? It is kind of laissez-faire. Everything goes. There is no rule, no regulation. They chuck everything out the window. Paul's advice here in verse 4 reminds the parents not to overdo it, and at the same time, not to do away with the regulations, the rules. We are to use the word of the Lord. We are to use the method of the Lord to shape and mold children's character, children's life, so that they can be like Jesus. And as a result, they will be pleasing to God and glorify God. And so what about this? Do not exasperate your children. Now, this obviously reminds parents that children are individuals. They have their personality, they have their character, and they have their own rights. Now, in order to understand this command or this order of Paul, we have to go back to the first century to understand the Roman society. In those days, a Roman father had absolute authority over his children. A father could keep his children in chains and then make them work in the field. A father could sell his children as slaves. A father could even torture his children to death. A child that was born handicapped, the father could kill that child right there, just like killing any animal. Wow, think about that. If you understand that kind of background and read this verse 4 once again, then you can truly appreciate what Paul is saying to the parents of his day and saying to us today. In a Christian family, every single child has rights. Every single child is respected. Every single child is loved and cared for. You know, Paul's teaching also reminds us a child is a person. He or she has character. He or she has rights. And we as parents should not and cannot deny their rights. We should not do anything to hurt their self-esteem. We should not do anything to damage their character. Children are treasures, are inheritance given to us by God, but we are not to keep them as our own. Now, we often hear say, "Oh, this is my child, or this is my daughter." Yes, or I say that too, right? Yes, it is mine, but it is not mine to keep. My responsibility is to bring them up in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God, so that they can develop their character, they can develop their person perfectly in the sight of God. Now here, I just want to say a quick word to the parents, especially to the father, including myself. Paul says, do not exasperate your children. Now, what that means is, especially, you know, this comes before. Train your children and instruct your children. You know, how come this kind of order? I believe that Paul wants us parents to really think twice before we discipline. Think twice before we admonish our children. Especially, we should really control our temper. All of us here grew up or are growing up in an Asian family, in a Chinese family. Chinese parents of my generation, including myself, sometimes can lose temper very easily. You know, I do that too, I have to admit to you. When we lose our temper in disciplining our children, you know what happens? There will be more bad than good. The children will not only be hurt physically, they will also be hurt emotionally and maybe even spiritually. And this kind of hurt can be long-lasting. And no wonder some people who are adults now, who are even parents themselves now, they still hate their own parents. Why? Because of some of these things that happened to them in their childhood. And so I say to the fathers, and maybe to the mothers too, let us ask God, let us pray to God, so that we know how to control ourselves, so that we can have good self-control when it comes to disciplining, admonishing our children, especially those of you guys, especially when we have children who are growing up in Canada. Now, do not exasperate our children. Also reminds us that we should be careful in not doing the following. We should not be overprotective. I'm talking about, you know, parents like me. We should allow space. We should allow room for our children to grow up in this kind of society. We should give them this chance or this practice to make decisions. You know, our children sometimes just hate to see us treat them as babies, right? Hey, mom, don't do that. I'm a grown-up. But Chinese parents, they are very, very, you know, bad at this. You remember when you were a kid, when you fell on the sidewalk, what would your mother do? Your mother, your father would dash forward, pick you up. Oh, are you all right? Are you all right? But for the Western parents, maybe they would say, oh, well, you fell. Get up yourself. Right? And some Chinese parents would even say, they would hit the ground, right? Oh, well, the ground is yai yai, the ground is naughty. Right? You remember that? You don't remember that? You go home and ask your parents. They will tell you. And so, parents, try not to be overprotective. And parents, try not to play favorites. Your children know that, right? Who you favor, who you don't like. And so when you dish out awards or rewards, when you dish out punishments, make sure you are fair. Make sure you are just. And also, parents, try not to set unrealistic expectations. You know, every child is different. I've got three children, two girls and one boy. All three of them are of different character and personality and of different abilities altogether. Not every child must be an A student. Not every child must be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. Every child should be allowed to develop under your guidance on his own. And so let us not set unrealistic expectations. And also, parents, try not to, you know, constantly discourage your children. You know, children just hate parents when they are nagging, when they are so irritating, right? You guys, I see some of your smiling faces. You know what I'm talking about. Children even hate, especially hate parents, say, especially Chinese parents, parents of my generation say, hey, how come you are so stupid? How come you are so useless, right? 没用的, 这么蠢的? I'm sure, you know, many parents are guilty of that. And so, you know, when children are growing up under that kind of influence, they will certainly lose their confidence. They will certainly lose their self-esteem. Now, God wants us parents to treat, to tenderly care for our children in a balanced manner. We must be firm, and yet we must be loving. We must be firm, and yet we must be caring. We must not just use our speech to teach, but we must set an example with our action to our children. And I just want to say to the children too, you know, God, the young people in our midst, you know, God loves you, and you have to believe that God has a wonderful plan for you. In God's time, He will make His plan known to you. And in the meantime, I want to encourage you, listen and follow your parents. Honor your parents. Submit to them and respect them. They love and want the best for you. No question about that. Even though your parent may be harsh on you, at the bottom of his heart or her heart, they still love you. No question about that. They still want the very best for you. You know, get in line with them and do as well as you could with them. And if you haven't been as obedient and respectful as you should have been, come before God. Ask God to forgive you. Remember what I said earlier on. If you say you revere God and yet you dishonor your parents, you are lying. You know, God can forgive you. God can help you start anew. God can help you rebuild this relationship at home. And for the parents, if you have failed in the past, don't get discouraged. Come back to God. God knows your struggles. It's not easy to be a parent. I'm a parent myself. I'm even a pastor. So it's doubly difficult. You know, if you talk to my children, they hate to be PKs. You know what PKs mean? Pastor's kids. Yeah, my children don't like it. So it is very hard. But even when we have failed, we can still come back to God, parents, and ask God to forgive us and help us to do better again. You know, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. If you can turn to that, please turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Here the gospel says, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom refers to intellectual. Stature, or the body, physical, right, refers to physical. And God refers to spiritual. And man refers to social. And so, this is the goal for all of us, parents and children. If we can strive towards these four goals, then we'll be able to develop, we'll be able to build up a God-like, a Christ-like family. And in that case, God will be pleased, and our church and the community we are part of will be stable And so it is my prayer that God will help the children in our midst to fulfill the role of children well. And I pray also that the parents in our midst will fulfill their duty as parents well. And together we can build up this Christian family. We can be beneficial not only within to one another, not only within the family, but also within the church. And may God have mercy on us. May God build up the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. Amen. And let us have a word of prayer. Just now I said, if you have made any mistakes as a child or as a parent, you can come before God. And this is the moment. God is waiting for you. Come to Him. Pray to Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to help you start again. Help you to relate well to your parent or to your child. Ask God to help you to build a Christian family. Come before God. Pray to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And may your Spirit empower us so that we can start anew in our relationship with our parents or with our children. Lord, have mercy on our family. We thank you for instituting marriage and family. We thank you that these two institutions allow us to learn about your love, to experience your love, to learn how to interact with you and to interact with one another in the family. Lord, build us up and build up your church, the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, for your name's sake, and for the sake of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do we have time?